You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning, everybody. Very early this morning, Eastern Time, there were reports that the former Soviet Republic of Georgia had attacked Russian forces and was mounting an attack to retake the breakaway province of South Ossetia. A few hours later, there was a report from Russia that Russian troops had invaded Georgia. So all of a sudden, there is a war brewing on the border of Russia and Georgia. Joining us now live from London is Russian affairs analyst from the BBC, our content partners here at The Takeaway, Stephen Eek. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Hello there. A very serious situation is indeed developing between Russia and Georgia. The latest reports from Tbilisi, the Georgian capital, say that, quote, the two countries are now very close to war. This is over the situation in the breakaway Georgian region of South Ossetia. The latest reports from the AFP agency are suggesting that a Russian military convoy has now actually entered the region of South Ossetia from Russian territory. There is also an unconfirmed report so far that Russian air forces have bombed a location near the Georgian capital of Tbilisi. So very serious tensions brewing there indeed.
Stephen, this couldn't be a more serious situation. The tensions in this region have been persistent. And also with the discussions about Georgia entering the EU and the tension over that, the installation of a new Russian president, this does not bode well for the administration of Mr. Medvedev.
No, it doesn't. Russia profoundly resents the pro-Western policies that the Georgian president, Mikhail Saakashvili, has been conducting since he came to power nearly 5 years ago in the Rose Revolution. I'm sure many of our listeners remember those dramatic events. But Russia thinks that Mr. Saakashvili is destabilizing the southern flank of Russia, which is already a fairly troubled part of the world. The West, of course, has built close links with Mr. Saakashvili, even offering the future possibility of membership of NATO and the European Union. If there is a serious full-out conflict between Russia and Georgia, there are going to be some very serious questions for Georgia's Western partners, too.
Well, Steve, it's really terrific that we have you this morning because, I mean, it seems to me the main question is Russia appearing to be reactive in this particular instance, that circumstances have sort of forced them into this, or do you see signs of some sort of opportunism that this was a conflict that the Russians were aching to have?
It does seem that actually the instigators of the military action were the Georgians, because they offered a ceasefire and peace negotiations, which were rejected by the South Ossetians, and then used that as a pretext to actually begin this operation to retake the territory physically by attacking its capital town of Tkhinvali, which is a population of just over 30,000 people. On the other hand, the Russians have been, since the early 1990s, when there was a war between South Ossetia and Georgia, the Russians have been supporting politically, militarily, financially, the separatist regime in South Ossetia, even though they will not go as far as openly recognizing it either as part of Russia or as an independent state. Russia has kept it dangling in the air, literally as a way of preserving influence over Georgia.
Stephen, already this morning, some have described this as a proxy, perhaps, between the U.S. and Russia, given Russia's backing of the separatists and the U.S. backing of the Georgian government. Is that a valid debate, discussion to have?
I think it's a totally valid way of looking at this situation in the region and in Georgia as a whole, simply because Russia wants to stop Mikhail Saakashvili's policies. It doesn't want to see Georgia as a country it views as historically allied and close. It doesn't want to see Georgia joining NATO. It doesn't want to see Georgia edging away ever further out of the Russian orbit of political and military influence. On the other hand, the West has staked an awful lot on Mr. Saakashvili, believing that he will bring democracy to a traditionally very undemocratic part of the world, that he will open up that region to the West, to Western interests. Let's not forget that the Georgian armed forces have been significantly retrained over recent years by NATO, something else that causes serious problems with Russia. So I think, yes, to a certain extent, we have to say that this is a proxy situation in which the conflicting interests of Russia and the West are being played out.
Well, Stephen, extending on that point of Adora's, then looking at the dispersion of U.S. forces and NATO forces in the region, does the U.S. have any real military option to help the Georgians here, or are the Georgians going to have to go it alone?
Well, Mr. Saakashvili, the Georgian president, has already tried to trumpet NATO membership as a fact, not as something that might be offered in the long term. But it seems to me utterly inconceivable given the overstretch of American forces, given NATO's reluctance to become involved even in places like Afghanistan, that they would become involved in a conflict between Georgia and Russia. The potential down there in the South Caucasus is very serious for a nasty conflict, because things get very out of control very quickly there, and whatever diplomats talk about and whatever they agree doesn't always impact on the situation on the ground. But I cannot imagine NATO becoming directly involved.
Well, certainly the resources of the BBC will be fully deployed to cover this story. Stephen Eek, Russian Affairs editor for the BBC, speaking to us in London. Thank you, Stephen.
Thank you.